Well, I wonder how many people had a really early start this morning. Perhaps you've got young children and you're up between the hours of 3 and 6, which was the time that Mary was up and went to the tomb early. And yet she arrived to find that there was nothing. Nothing that becomes confusion and despair, hope and alarm. Who would steal a corpse? A dead person. How undignified. And so Mary goes to the only place she can think of, to the disciples who have shared the whole experience with her. Peter and John are where she hopes they will be, and she blurts out the shock that Jesus isn't where she thought they would be. He would be. And so they run, probably angry as they go, swearing about the Romans, the leaders who had Jesus executed, out of breath. And they arrive at the tomb, one disciple, probably John first, and then Peter. Wonder what happened in those seconds and minutes that they were together on their way. They must have been trying to work out who it was who had robbed the grave. And so, puzzled, John turns to Peter, their leader, who had fallen from grace, puzzled by the whole weekend, puzzled by the lack of a body, and, if he was honest, puzzled what to do next. The grave clothes are too neat for theft. They're like a chrysalis, according to John, as if Jesus moved through them, not out of them. And so nothing becomes questions and doubts, a puzzle for the disciples, and they go home. But not everyone goes home, because Mary stays outside the tomb crying. Mary, who'd always sought to be close to Jesus, mentioned more than most of the disciples in the Gospels. Mary, who started out as someone tormented and ill and had been healed by Jesus and so had put all her faith in him. Was her life about to fall apart again? Mary had followed Jesus to homes, to the synagogue, as he healed people and taught them, and eventually to Golgotha, the area near the rubbish dump outside the city walls where crucifixion took place. And finally, she even followed him to the tomb. Mary had the presence to seek to go where Jesus was, perhaps not so much in hope, but simply because there was nothing else that she could think of to do. Cooped up in a house with the doors locked, surrounded by fear, what would she have to lose if she went and looked at the tomb? And so the other disciples leave, but Mary stays. She stays so that she can be close to where Jesus had been laid. Perhaps she could reflect on the crazy couple of days that they'd had. She stays because she really had no idea what else to do. And so she looks one more time into the tomb to see if there really is no body, that she hasn't missed something. And sure enough, the body is gone. But there is something new in front of her. Two angels who are together where Jesus had been buried. She must have wondered if light was playing tricks on her eyes, or perhaps it was her imagination, perhaps something else. But then one of them speaks. Now nothing becomes a question. Why are you crying? It's a good question to ask on Easter Sunday. Why are you crying when there's so much potential joy? But of course, Mary is devastated and cries out to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." Some of us this morning, in spite of the joy of today, of the christenings that we're going to have, of the lovely weather outside, and the hope of Easter, some of us today are in a place of bewilderment and weeping, like Mary was at the point that she speaks. And this is how many people experience life today at different times. That even when there is a theme of joy, the inner voice can be empty and lost. And that was Mary at that point. Well, if you're one of those people, today, Easter Day, is for you too. Because, of course, it is a day of hope, a day of new starts, a day where we celebrate Alfie and Grace and their christening, but actually for all of us. And so a voice pipes up behind her and asks her the same question again. What's wrong? Why are you crying? And the back of the mind, it's probable that it sounded familiar, but she turns to see the gardener. The gardener. Perhaps a bit disappointed, perhaps just a bit surprised. But what isn't surprising at a time like this? She doesn't recognize Jesus. He's in a different place to where she saw him last on the cross. Here is a man walking, talking, perhaps radiant, certainly with authority. And then, in an instant, everything changes because the person knows who she is and says her name and calls out Mary. And nothing becomes everything. In the confirmation service I attended last night, the bishop said to the candidates who were being confirmed, in this case, Richard, God has called you by name and made you his own. And as Jesus looked at Mary, that's exactly what he did. He called her by name and made her his own in that way. And this is part of the story where we all enter in. Because Jesus also calls us all by name and looks out to us and, of course, has a special message of hope for us on Easter Sunday. For Alfie and for Grace and for the families, for the godparents, for all of those here for today's christening, but also for all of us. Because Jesus speaks Mary's name and he speaks our name. Here is Mary, here is the woman who only really wanted one thing, and that was to be near Jesus. I wonder if you think that your life isn't quite good enough for Jesus today. I wonder if you've come along today and you've just got that nagging sense that you're not quite good enough. Well, Mary was the sort of person that people had written off years ago. But Jesus didn't write her off. And what a moment this is in time, a moment where nothing becomes everything. There's a story told, 1930s, of a little boy who goes to a concert, and it's his mother has taken him to listen to a great pianist play, Jan Paderewski. And she takes him along and they sit in the back row because he's only four and he's really fidgety. And they get there really early. And eventually the boy just gets so bored. He gets up and he runs around the side of the auditorium and he goes up onto the stage and he sits at the piano. True story. Sits at the piano. And he sits down and he starts playing the only thing he knows how to play, chopsticks. Now everyone would be getting their phones out and saying, isn't this wonderful? And it would be put on YouTube. But in the 1930s, it wasn't the sort of thing that you approved of. And people were saying, get him off the stage. And as he was playing along, gradually this man dressed in a suit came out behind him, sat down, put his arms around him and said, don't stop playing. Don't stop playing. And so he kept playing chopsticks. And, of course, the man around him was the pianist, and he created a symphony around what the little boy presented. Mary understood that that's what Jesus wanted, just to present what she had. And actually, that's exactly the same for all of us today. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter if we're starting out on our journey of faith, or if we're a bit further on, that's the call that Jesus has to us. Just to have faith, and he will help us to do the rest through the ministry of God's Spirit. And so Jesus then gives Mary a new job. He doesn't want her to stay with him. He wants her to go back to the disciples and to tell them what's happened. He says, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I have called you by name, you are mine. Not to stay at the tomb, but to go back and to live and to go out and serve the world and to be involved in blessing people and telling people about Jesus. And this also is where this story speaks to us, because that is exactly what we are to do. That is the hope of the resurrection, that we are to share that hope with others. And of course, our hope is based on that living story of Jesus, the risen Lord. Well, when God calls you by name, the question is, are you willing to respond? And how will you respond? Will you do as Mary did and go and seek him and follow him? Will you allow him to guide you in your life? And I want to encourage you to take that step forward. We're doing Alpha courses throughout the church after Easter, and I'd love you to join a group if you're new. Come and have a chat to me afterwards. Because we want you to experience all that God has for you, as Mary did, of that resurrection hope. The resurrection and this story of Jesus rising gives us hope and gives us a sense of boldness and courage, because we have faith in a God who is powerful and can change lives. And so in a moment, we're going to go on and share with two families who are making their step of faith in baptism. But I'd like to say a little prayer first. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as Mary made that step of faith, may we make that step of faith. As Mary went to the tomb, may we go to where Jesus is. As Mary had faith, may we step out and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.